Lord, I ask you tonight just to anoint these few moments of sharing. Jesus, reach into the deepest need of people's hearts tonight. Help those who need to understand eternal truth. Help everyone to understand. And I thank you for this anointing in your precious name. Psalmist David in Psalm 27 in the Old Testament said these words. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, if there wasn't some good to be seen. Now, I know that when we die, some people are going to heaven and that will be good. I have some memories of the past when I was a child, and those things are good, but they're in the past. And some of them are gone and they're not retrievable anymore. But David said, I would have fainted unless I had seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. I need to see something good. I need to know there is still good. In a generation when truth is in the streets, you can't get the truth on almost anything anymore. Everybody's got a spin. Six people can be in the same room, it seems to me. And if you listen to the news reports, it's like they were all on different planets when that event happened. You can't get the truth anymore. It's frustrating. You look around you and you wonder, is good slipping through our fingers? Are we losing something as a people, as a generation that is virtually irretrievable? And many people in our generation are saying the same things now. There's got to be somebody honest. There has to be something that's true. And hence, here you are tonight. You come to the house of God and you say, well, there's got to be something good that's left. And I met somebody out on the street, or maybe a friend, and they invited me here this evening, or maybe I was just passing by and I saw the marquee and it said, only the truth will set you free. And I wondered, is the truth really here? Can anything here be trusted? Is there something good? Oh God, if I find out you're not good and if your people are not good, I'm going to faint. I'm going to give up. I'm going to lose heart. And that's why some of you are in this place tonight. Not that you have a personal relationship with God, but you want to see somebody who does. You want to know that there is truth to this. There's some reality to it. In a sense, whether or not you make the decision to actually give your life to Jesus Christ, it at least brings a measure of comfort to know that there are some good people left in the world today. Now, I'm not tarring the whole of society. I mean, there are good people everywhere. I know that. But society as a general is taking a downward turn, and many of us are very, very aware of this. Luke 19 tells us of a man called Zacchaeus. Now, he was a tax collector. And the Bible also says he was short. He was a short man. Now, he was short on a lot of things. He was short on height. He was short on honesty. Tax collectors were not known to be very honest in that time. They were actually despised by the people because they were instruments of an oppressive government that were taking most often more than they needed to. That's how they made their money. They were allowed to collect taxes, and then as much as they could squeeze out of people, they could keep it for themselves. And it was sort of a legal, illegal procedure that was going on at the time. Short on honesty, short on integrity, short on goodness. But he heard that Jesus was passing by, and in his heart he had to know, this is a good person. This is a good man. He'd heard so many good things about this good man that even though he himself was a little short on honesty, he decided that he would go down and watch this good man pass by. Remember, David said, unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I would have lost heart. I would have fainted. The scripture says he climbed up a tree because he was short and he couldn't see above the crowd, sort of, I guess, the balcony of his time. And Jesus suddenly invited this man to his house. You see, the Lord is not interested in you just coming to his house. He wants to come to your house. He's a take-home God, you know. He wants to go to your house tonight. He wants to go home with you. He actually wants to move into your house. He wants to be a part of your house. He wants to beautify your house. He wants to bring joy to your house. He wants to decorate your house. He wants to do things to your house that you'd never believe could be done. The ultimate God, who is good and His mercy endures forever, is not satisfied with you just to come to His house. He wants to go to your house. He wants to go home with you tonight. You didn't bargain for this. You didn't bargain for where you were. Do you realize where you are tonight? You know, years ago, the maitre d' of one of the, if not the finest restaurant in New York City, used to attend this church. It was quite a long time ago. And then one time, he gave me an invitation. He came behind the platform, introduced himself, and he says, I really want you to have this. I feel that this is going to be something special for you. It was an invitation to dinner, all expenses paid, at this particular hotel for four people. Now, normally, we don't accept gifts like that here in the church, but I felt to that night. I felt that this was from the hand of God. And I saved it, and my mother and father came to their 50th wedding anniversary, and we invited them to New York, and I decided to take them to this restaurant that I could never afford. A typical meal for four would be around $2,000 at this particular restaurant. Yeah, you, wow, is right. I mean, when you go into this restaurant, they throw lobster all over the table just to pick at while you're looking at the menu. So that's where we start. You have three or four waiters that stand around your table and never leave. They're there all the time for your every whim. It's not just a meal, it's an entire evening. I won't tell you where the restaurant is, but I will tell you they sat us in Elizabeth Taylor's personal booth where she had sat with all seven of her husbands. And we were sitting at this particular table, and my father opened the menu. We opened our menus, and we looked, and there was just a phenomenal meals available and all the different courses. So the waiter, one of the waiters came. My father closed his menu, and he ordered a hamburger without the bun and mashed potatoes and gravy, no vegetables. And the waiter almost choked because, I mean, they didn't have hamburger, number one. And I'm sure they had no gravy. I'm absolutely positive there was no gravy in this restaurant. And the interesting thing is, my father had no idea where he was. He had no idea where he was sitting. One of the finest restaurants, if not the finest restaurant in New York City, with a fare. He could have eaten anything he wanted to and as much as he wanted on this menu. It was all there for him, and he ordered a hamburger patty. And so I guess my question to you tonight is, what are you looking for tonight? You've come to a house, and you're sitting in a seat. Now, this used to be a well-known theater in New York City, and the Tony Awards were held here and other such things. There have been movie stars sitting, most likely, in some of the seats, in maybe the one that you're in tonight. And so you're sitting, I was sitting in Elizabeth Taylor's booth. You're sitting in somebody's seat who was here. And there's been a lot of history, there's a lot of tradition, there's a fair that's been presented here tonight for you by God Himself. You have been given carte blanche to everything your heart has ever desired is here tonight. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, the ability to endure where other men and women can't. There's the ability to see what ordinary people can't see, to have a future and a hope. That David the psalmist said, God, you set a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. And so here you sit tonight. And my question to you is, what are you looking for? You've come to the house of the Lord. You've wanted to see something good. And God is setting before you everything that your heart has ever desired. It's all found in Jesus Christ, and the beauty of it all is it's all paid for. Now, you can be like my father was and order a hamburger patty, and that's the type of a person who just is satisfied with a good feeling tonight. Satisfied when you can be completely satisfied for all the rest of your life and for eternity, but yet you might choose wrongly tonight, because you don't know where you're sitting, to just simply ingest something that makes you feel good because you're simply looking at the menu of what other people may have eaten or talking about where others may have sat or what others may be experiencing, and yourself left out of the beauty of what God has provided for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus went to a cross, He died to pay the price for your sin. That means the wrong things that you have done that have separated you from God. When He said it is finished, when His last breath was leaving His body, He broke the power of sin. He broke the power of depression, the power of suicide, the power of poverty, the power of hopelessness, the power of brokenness, the power of pain. He broke it on the cross. And He opened to you and I a life that we formerly could only have dreamt about. We could only read about it in a magazine somewhere. But suddenly we find ourselves sitting in a place where the provision of God is there. Everything we've ever wanted is set before us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, in the presence of everything that has tried to destroy me. And suddenly this man Zacchaeus, he finds Jesus sitting at his table. And as Jesus begins to speak, something comes into his heart. He begins to realize, this man is willing to be a friend of mine. This man is willing to be an associate of mine. This man is not just here to tell me some things about the kingdom of heaven, but he's here to be a part of my life. And just like David, he begins to cry out, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Don't deliver me to the will of mine enemies. Wait on the Lord, David says, and be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that means, wait means ingest. It means to be intertwined. It means to be a partaker of something. It was David himself who said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can't survive as a Christian. You can't survive in the church on somebody else's story. We've heard stories of the miraculous tonight. Of what God and God alone is able to do and how He does it. And He does it in such profound simplicity. And yet we can live listening to stories of other people. When God says, but won't you come? But won't you taste? But won't you open your heart? But won't you receive the forgiveness that God offers through His Son? Won't you be strengthened with the strength that God promises in the inner person that you are? Won't you be brought into that power of an endless and eternal life that God offers? Won't you taste and see that the Lord is good? It's an incredible place that you're in tonight. You're in the finest that God has in New York City. I'm not talking about churches. I'm talking about the finest places. His house, His presence. There's nothing finer than that. That's where you are tonight. You're at the pinnacle of what you can ever hope to experience as a person because you've been brought into the presence of God. And the Lord says to you, I want you to take me home. Now you ask me tonight, how does that happen? How do I take home a feeling about God? Do I take home a concept of God? No, you take home much more than that. You take home the person of God. When you open your heart to Jesus Christ, Jesus Himself said in the book of Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. When you open your heart, He said, I will come in. I'll sit down with you. He comes into your life in the power and form of the third person of God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus died to pay the price for your sin. When you open your heart, He comes in and becomes the one who begins to occupy your heart, your mind, your life. He promised through the prophet Ezekiel to the people of God of that time, He said, if you'll open to me, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new mind. I'll give you a new spirit. Everything will become new. You'll know the reason why you were born. You'll understand the meaning of life. You'll know where you're going. You'll know who's going to take you there. And when it's all over, you're going to know where you're going to spend eternity. And once that is settled in your heart, it changes absolutely everything begins to change. You can go home with a hamburger patty in your pocket tonight, or you can go home with an open invitation to the finest restaurant in New York City for the rest of your life. You can come to the presence of God anytime and feast. You can open this book and drink of the living water of God. You can eat the promises of God. And by these promises, Peter says, you become partakers of a new nature that God provides through his Son. And so I stand tonight perhaps as your waiter and I say, what will your order be? What do you want tonight? You can have anything you want, and it's free. What will your order be? Will you slide back into poverty and depression? Will you go back into, will it satisfy you just to have a story about what somebody else may have eaten here? Or will you have the courage to say, I see what's being offered me tonight, and I want it, and I want the fullness of it. I want everything that God has for me tonight. I want all of it. I want redemption. I want the forgiveness of my sin. I want to be set free from the power and the penalty of all the wrong that I have done. I want a new life. I want a new heart. I want a new mind. I want a new future. I want hope. I want life. I want a reason to live. I want something inside that's worthwhile. I want to be free from the guilt of my past. I want to have something to say to people in this generation that offers hope and truth. I want to be a man or woman of truth. I want God. Before you even have time to think another thought, the moment you move from where you are to where God is, he comes to you. He died because he loves you. He died because he desires to be with you. You have to know that. You're greatly loved of God. And tonight, for whoever has the courage, I mean, when you think of it, really, does it really take courage? To receive what God freely gives. I think it takes more courage to refuse it. Who tonight? Who in this building tonight or in the annex is willing to say, Pastor, I hear, I see, and I'm not willing to go home with less than my sins forgiven and what God has promised me through his Son. I want the fullness of what God is giving me, and I want to take it home with me tonight. If that's you, would you just raise your hand wherever you are? God bless you all over. Just raise your hand. God bless you. Now, for those who raise their hands and want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, remember that he said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to invite you to come down. I'm going to invite you just to stand here at the front of this auditorium as a public statement to everybody here that I am choosing to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I am choosing to trust him to forgive me and to receive me and to change me. I'm not willing to just hear somebody else's story of victory. This story is going to be mine starting tonight. I'm going to walk in this victory, and I'm going to know this life and this power that God promises through his Son. We're going to stand and worship for just a moment, and as we do, those who raised your hands and those who should have raised your hand, and if you brought a friend who might want to come here but is afraid to, you can turn to your friend and say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. But I'm inviting you to get out of your seat and come and just meet me here at the front of this auditorium, and we're going to pray a prayer that will lead you through to this saving relationship with Jesus Christ we've been talking about. Education Annex, if you're listening in Roxbury as well, you can step forward to the screens in front of you. I'm going to ask you to come and join me here at the front of this auditorium. Let's stand, please, in the balcony. You can slip out either exit. Come downstairs in the main sanctuary. You raised your hand. Come, please, and meet me here. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. What a miracle tonight. What an absolute miracle this is this evening. See all these folks here, young and old, rich and poor, every race, every kindred, every tribe, from every place. And the Lord has brought you here tonight because He loves you, because He has a wonderful, wonderful plan for your life. Tonight, you're going to start this plan by receiving forgiveness. You have to admit that you're a sinner. Now, being a sinner means that God has certain ways that life is to be lived. They're in this book. You'll understand it later. And to be a sinner means that I've taken these ways and I've not considered them. I've lived. He tells me to tell the truth and I've been a liar. He says that I'm to live a moral life, but I've not been moral. That I'm to be humble, but I've been proud. And we see in the Bible that all have sinned, the prophet Isaiah said, and fallen short of what God intends our lives to be. All. There's not one righteous, not even one. It doesn't matter what kind of garments we wear or what our home was like. All have sinned. But God loved us so much, He's not willing to let us go. So He came to the earth and He took on the form of a man, walked among us for 33 years. The man's name was Jesus. And He went to a cross and He let people nail Him there. And He let Himself be beaten and bruised and wounded for all of the wrong things that we did against God. He paid the price. An innocent man paid the price for our guilt. That's how much He wanted us back again. That's how much He longs to have us in right relationship with Him. And all He asks us to do is to open our heart to Him. In sincerity, to say, Jesus, I have sinned against You. I've sinned against people. But God, tonight, I know I can be forgiven. And I know You have a new life for me. And so I'm going to open my heart to You and I'm going to trust You to come in. And You're going to be the God to me that You have promised. And the stories I've heard tonight are going to be not somebody else's, but mine. I'm going to have a story of walking with God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask you to do something tonight, just to lift your hands. It might be hard if you've never done that. The first time I was asked to do that, it was really tough. But you lift your hands before God. And it's a form of surrender. It's like, God, I'm just done trying it my own way. And pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I haven't been truthful. I've lived short of what You have for my life. I'm sorry for the way I've lived and the things I've done. And I don't want to live that way anymore. Tonight, I open my heart to You, Jesus. I thank You for the knowledge that You love me. You died for me to get me back to You again. And I open my heart and I invite You to come in and to forgive me and to be the Lord of my life and to walk with me from this day forward and to come to my house and to change things and to make them the way that You want it to be. Lead me and guide me into Your truth. Jesus, thank You that You've answered the deepest cry of my heart. And from this day forward, I believe that You have received me and that I'm going to follow You all the rest of my life. I believe that when I die, You're going to take me to heaven. And I will live with You there forever. I believe that sin has no more power over my life. I'm going to walk away from all the wrong by the power of God. I thank You, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.